Ezekiel chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 12. And we pretty well completed last week our thoughts concerning the 12th chapter. And I don't think we have any new thoughts this evening. But as I said last week, we kind of wanted to do, a review of what we have seen. Something that we haven't done with every chapter, but sometimes the Lord leads us to do this, and certainly on as important a subject as what we have learned from this 12th chapter. And that basically is, what have we learned of the word of the Lord from this chapter? From the events that Ezekiel was to do, and the purpose, and the false prophets, and false teachers, and the word of the Lord coming to Ezekiel. We kind of centered on the word of the Lord all the way through the 12th chapter, and a common phrase, and the word of the Lord came to me, and the word of the Lord came to me. And quite often. And as we got down to the false prophets part, dealing specifically with verses 21 through 28, the false prophets part, we find that they had discredited the word of the Lord. They had not believed the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord had come to them many years ago. In Isaiah, you read the first chapter and the first verse of the book of Isaiah, and you'll see that the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, the son of, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, concerning Jerusalem and Judah. So it had come to Isaiah many years before. And then it came to Jeremiah. Came to Jeremiah in the days of Josiah and his sons. The word of Jeremiah. Now, again, Ezekiel. In the days of Jeremiah, the false prophets had grown, and Isaiah had them in his day too. But in the days of Jeremiah, they were saying, not so, not so. And they said, these things are, in 2 years, the Babylonian army is going to be defeated, and we'll be scot-free. They said, it's not for many days to come. It's not gonna happen in our day and time. Well, you can see, if it had been something that was prophesied in the days of Isaiah, and all these years have come to pass, and there, it's still being said, wouldn't it tend to be scoffing? Just as we had scoffers in our day. But we learned in those verses, in those closing verses, that it was the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord still came to Ezekiel, still prophesying the same thing, prophesying destruction because of their sin. So, we learned that we can have an assurance in the word of the Lord. We can have there's an assurance of certainty of the fulfillment of the word of the Lord. If it's the word of the Lord, it is coming to pass. We can count on that. Turn with me back to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 23. And this was told their forefathers many years before this time. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, we read, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Turn with me to Psalms. God is not a God that he should lie. In fact, we're going to see before this night's over that it's impossible. Yes. God is not able to lie. Amen. Psalms chapter 89, in verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Do we realize, do we understand that the word of the Lord is his covenant? Yes. Amen. It's gone forth from his lips. And it's going to come to pass. He's not able to lie. He's not a God that he should lie. He's not like man. You see, you and I may lie. We may lie for appearances' sakes, but not God. Not God. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and what we read here in this chapter in verse 18. Jesus, the Son of God, speaking. Son of God, Son of Man, speaking. He says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And he's not talking about the law of Moses only. He's talking about all the words of God. They're his law. Yeah. Not one jot or tittle. My understanding of the Greek writing is that is the smallest little character in the Greek language. Not even that. The most insignificant mind is going to pass away. Why? Because he's God and he spoke it. Amen. And it's going to come to pass. 1 Peter. I want you to see that this thread is not just an Old Testament thread, but is New Testament as well. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look with me at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. You got that? Mm-hmm. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, that is seed that perishes, that seed that decays and withers away and is no more. That's not God.
Amen.
But of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For as flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. These plant life out here, it withers away. Men wither away and are no more in the flesh. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. How long? Forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, by which ye were born again. So how sure is your salvation? Just as sure as the word of God is. That's how sure our salvation is. Praise God. Praise God. I'm glad his word doesn't pass away. I'm glad his word is accomplished. I'm glad that we can have an assurance in the word of God that every word spoken will be fulfilled. And its entirety. We have evidence. We have proof of that. We have Adam and Eve. The word spoken to them came to pass. We have Noah. The word spoken to him came to pass. We have Abraham and Sarah. And the word spoken to them came to pass. We have Israel and the word spoken to them came to pass. Praise God. So, not only did we learn that there's an assurance of the certainty of the fulfillment of the word of God, we've also learned that warning against unbelief of the word of the Lord and against the false security in that unbelief of the word. The punishment denounced against sin will certainly be inflicted. Didn't we learn that? Isn't that what we learned in the 12th chapter of the book of Ezekiel? Isn't that what God told Ezekiel to tell unto the people, the captives by the river Kibar? You see, Jeremiah was in his day was prophesying and telling to the people in the land, Jerusalem and Judah, as was Isaiah to the people in Jerusalem and Judah. And then Ezekiel comes along and he's carrying on the word of the Lord from the mouth of Isaiah and Jeremiah to captives in the land of Babylon. Amen. It will be inflicted. So, seeing as we have, shall we say, these great cloud of witnesses, Adam and Eve, Noah and his sons and their wives, Abraham and Sarah, Israel, the punishment shall be inflicted. How are we to look at the book of Luke? The book of Luke in chapter 13. when the Son of God, the Son of Man, said this in verse 3. He said, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Everyone that does not repent shall perish in their sins. Is God true? Is His word true? Well, we have a great cloud of witnesses. We even see the word of God being fulfilled in our day. We see it coming to pass in the very day and time in which we live. And then, with all that said, the assurance, and you can mark that the warning against unbelief of the word of the Lord. You can mark that down as an assurance that if we disbelieve the word of the Lord, punishment is going to be inflicted. You can mark it down. You can be assured of it. Most assuredly, it is going to come to pass.
Amen.
So what's that promoting in us? Well, it's meant to promote in us and to even in those who disbelieve an encouragement to trust the word of the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. Psalms 19. Look with me here at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Just one of the six terms used to describe the Word of God. His Word is His law. The law of the Lord is perfect. It is sound. It is complete. It is complete. How complete is it? Well, he that addeth to it is going to have added unto him. He that takes away from it, his name is going to be taken away from the Lamb's Book of Life. Not that it was ever there. You understand that phrase, don't you? It never was there. If it's there, then he'll not take away from the book. You see. But reading on, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Amen. The testimony of the Lord. Another word for His word. His word testifies of the truth. It's His testimony. It's His testimony of the truth. You want the truth? Go to the book. Go to the book. The testimony of the Lord is sure. What's that word sure mean? It means sure. It means firm. It means truly. It's going to come to pass. Every word of it. Enlightening. Let me get the right verse here. Is sure making wise the simple. We learned a little bit about wisdom in Sunday school class, haven't we? Wisdom, making wise the simple. You want to be wise? Wise in the things of God? Go to the book. Go to the Word.
Amen.
It'll make you wise. Its promises are true. And if they're true, what else are they then? Reliable. You can count on it. You can count on the promises of this book, the promises of God. They're reliable. We don't have to wonder if it's true. We don't have to wonder if it's coming to pass. We don't have to wonder if it's sure. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We don't have to wonder if they're reliable. 2 Corinthians in the first chapter. Look at verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him. In whom? Verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ. For all the promises of God in Him, in Jesus Christ. Are yea, and in Him, Jesus Christ, amen, unto the glory of God by us. What did that mean? All the promises of God in Him are yea. What does that mean? It is a word, it is a term that means verily, truly, assuredly. Mm-hmm. That's pretty sure.
Amen.
All the promises of God are truth. They're His word. And in Him, amen. Well, you might hear Brother Ron, just heard Brother Ron say amen.
Amen.
What's that mean?
So be it.
Well, so be it, but it means it's stronger than that. Amen means firm. That's firm. That's truth.
Amen.
It's faithful. That's what, when someone says amen in the assembly to something that the preacher or the pastor has preached, and they say amen, it means that it's firm, it means it's faithful, it's truth.
Amen.
John's word is truth. As it is in Christ Jesus. It's sure. The hopes which it inspires are not deceptive. Not deceptive. We learned about the people having a false hope because of the false prophets. We'll get into it more in the next chapter when the judgment is pronounced upon the false prophets and prophetesses. About the hope that the false hope that was there. And certainly false prophets in our day even cause people to have a false hope. No basis for their hope. It's unfounded. It's untruth. So, the hopes that the Word of God inspires, though, they're not deceptive. They're truth. Look with me at the book of Hebrews in chapter 6. And I always love this passage of Scripture when we're talking about the truthfulness of God and the veracity of His Word. In verse 18, it says that by two immutable things, that by two things that are unchanging, God is unchanging. He's immutable. Amen. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. What are the two things? You go up the preceding verses and you'll find that the two things that are immutable and that it was impossible for God to lie are His counsel, His purposes, and His Word. God is not a man that He should change. He's not a man that He should lie. Yet by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Not just a consolation, but a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. We that have fled to Jesus Christ. Faith in Him. And faith in Him is faith in God. Amen. We that have fled to Him for refuge. We have a strong consolation. We have a hope that is not false, but a hope that is sure and steadfast. You see, hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. It's a firm anchor. How firm my anchor is it? Well, it's unmovable. I think I've used this illustration before. If you've been out in a boat, you cast down an anchor wherever you want to dock or well, dock, you tie up to the dock, but wherever you want to stop and fish, in my case, fishing, and we drop the anchor. Well, sometimes that anchor is not real firm, especially if strong waves and wind come up, and it can drag the anchor along the bottom. Not God's anchor. Not God's anchor. You ain't going to drag it anywhere. It's firm. You see, it's steadfast. Which hope we have in it as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad His Word is sure. See, I don't have a false hope. And you don't have a false hope. Listen to this. Turn with me in the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah. Chapter 8. And so, because the Word of God is truth, God cannot lie. And it's sure and steadfast. Verse 20 of Isaiah 8. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, according to this book, it is because there is no light in him. In them, they are the workers of darkness. They are false prophets. Amen. You see. So we're to measure every word by the Word of God. If they don't speak according to this word, and remember that this word is of no private interpretation. It's only discerned by the Spirit of God. So if they're speaking something that's not truth from this book,
comparing scripture with scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, then they're false prophets. There's no light in them. They're workers of darkness. Don't you believe them.
All right. That's the summation of the 12th chapter. Every word of God is truth. And if it's truth, and it is, it's going to come to pass. Even the things that have not yet come to pass, that are spoken of in this book, you can mark it down. They're coming to pass in His time.